the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio. OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training on a driving home, I was actually thinking, regretting it, what have I done? Like I walked into a circus. It's amazing, isn't it?
Phil Egan, good morning to you.
How are you doing, Chair?
Damien Duff has parted ways with Stephen Kenny in the FAI. Irish under 21 assistant John O'Shea is being linked with the vacant role. Phil, what's your overall take on the Damien Duff situation? Which camp are you in at the moment?
Well, it's very hard to be in someone's camp when you don't really know Damien Duff's exact reasons. I know there was details of it in the papers over the weekend, but still we haven't got his version of events. So right now I'm just thinking, in terms of Stephen Kenny, anything that can go wrong since he took over has gone wrong. I mean, look at, you think back to the Slovakia game, the fact that Aaron Connolly and Adam Eda are ruled out because they're close contact of a COVID-19 case, which turns out to be a false positive. Then COVID rules out several players, no wins, one goal in eight, and now Damien Duff on top of this off the back of the video. And you kind of think to yourself, if Ireland weren't losing these games or not winning games, would the video story have even emerged? But it did, and the knock-on effect is Damien Duff is no longer part of the management team, and it just seems that Stephen Kenny can't get a break at the moment. And you're looking at that first qualifier away to Serbia on the 24th of March, which, as things stand, goes ahead, but you wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't happen either. But maybe that mightn't be a bad thing, because maybe we need a bit more normality and things to settle down before Stephen Kenny can start finally trying to turn things around.
In the eyes of the Ireland football fans, what do you think the impact of Duff leaving is going to have? Like, so everybody is speculating about the reasons, and in the continuing absence of an official interview that Duff does, where he talks about, yeah, I was angry with the FAI for bothering to investigate that. Now, it seemed pretty clear from his appearance as a pundit that he thought the investigation was ludicrous. Like, is he resigning now to bring further attention to the fact that somebody within the FAI was spinning against the incoming manager and he wants action taken over that? Or because the FAI is a dysfunctional organisation? And if it's the latter, like, you know,
yeah,
he was in Saipan. He knows what the organisation is like.
Yeah, I suppose when he came on board, though, maybe the fact that John Delaney was no longer involved, maybe Damien Duff thought it's a new era now, and now it's going to be more transparency. And, you know, here we are, John Delaney's gone, but there's still problems with the FAI. Obviously, you know, the change can't happen overnight. Things have to, it'll take time, but there's still a lot of messing going on. And maybe he just decided, you know what, I've had enough of this. But again, you know, we don't know exactly what Damien Duff is thinking. So, you know, I think it's wrong to speculate too much, because only he can tell us exactly why he left. But the bottom line is Stephen Kenny is now without a really top quality coach. He can bring in John O'Shea, who is obviously not as experienced as Damien Duff in terms of coaching, but certainly has the credentials from his playing career to match what Damien Duff did. Well, I mean, John O'Shea won a lot more than Damien Duff and played in different position, obviously. But yeah, it just doesn't look good for Stephen Kenny at the moment. And as I said, the guy just can't catch a break at the moment.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, look, John O'Shea would certainly shore up any, you know, he could come out and do some press and say how excited he is and how he's backing the manager, and there would certainly be a PR win to that. And you hope that John O'Shea goes on to have a brilliant career as a manager. And he is, in fairness to him, he is doing the hard yards too, in terms of he's at Reading, he's with the underage teams in Ireland. It's not a million miles away from Duff's coaching experience as well. Like, how long was Duff at Celtic with the first team? Was it only a season? Was it even a full season?
Yeah, and like that's it as well in terms of Damien Duff. He's moved around a bit. Obviously, you know, he was with Shamrock Rovers. He has his job with Shelburne. So, I mean, look what Celtic have done this season. Damien Duff's not part of that. Maybe he's glad he got out at the right time. But, you know, he was seen as a really good appointment when the FAI brought him in, and certainly one that if you're an Irish footballer, you'd be loving to work with Damien Duff. But the same could be said about John O'Shea. He's been there, done that.
But Phil, does this mean he can't work for the FAI again? Like, if his problem is with the FAI, and like David Snaith had that piece, it seemed fairly well sourced. There was a lot of details in it, and there's been no denials.
I wouldn't say it definitely rules him out of ever working with them again. I mean, he could be offered a role in a few years' time, and things have changed. I mean, who would have thought Roy Keane would be an assistant manager of the Republic of Ireland? And at one stage, it looked like Roy Keane was going to be the succession plan to Martin O'Neill. So, you know, I would never rule out Damien Duff coming back and working for the FAI. But obviously, if he did, he'd want things to have changed. And let's be honest, we all want things to change, because at the moment, Irish football is not in a good place and it has to change. And maybe Damien Duff decided, it's not changing the way I thought it was. I'm out. Maybe in a few years I can come back.
So did the FAI still have questions to answer about what happened in the aftermath and who leaked the story? Is that what we should all be asking now? Is it our job in the media to say, Damien Duff has taken what we believe is a stand on the basis of the fact that somebody within the FAI is briefing against the FAI, against the national team manager? Is his act supposed to spark further debate about that incident?
Well, whether it's meant or not, it will. And you think when Stephen Kenny is going to do his next press briefing, whether it's to announce a squad for these qualifiers coming up in March, that's going to be one of the first questions he's asked. If anybody from the FAI is doing any media stuff as well, again, they'll be asked, what happened with Damien Duff? And obviously, we all want to hear from Damien Duff. Do we have to wait till he's on punditry duty again? I don't know. Maybe somebody has access to Damien Duff, and maybe Damien Duff will give it a few weeks and decide, right, now I'll give my side of events. But yeah, definitely these are questions that have to be asked, because you don't lose the services of a quality coach for no reason.
No.
Can Stephen Kenny feel a little bit pissed off with this in terms of Duff's decision to leave? Is there a sense of, you've left me in the lurch here?
Definitely, absolutely. You know, he. We don't know what the conversation was between Damien Duff and Stephen Kenny. Did Stephen Kenny say to him, look, I know it's not ideal, but, you know, you're here to coach the Ireland team with me. We need to turn things around. Love to have you on board. But if Damien Duff, as I said, only Damien Duff can tell us why he has stepped away from this role. But if he felt that, you know, he's a man of principles and what he wanted wasn't being done and he wants to walk away, you know, there's very little that Stephen Kenny can do.
Okay, let's move on. We'll come back to this because obviously it's a story that's going to continue to run. Liverpool legend John Barnes has called on the club to bring a stopgap defender to the club to address their defensive injury crisis. Last week, Klopp indicated that he does not expect to bring a new defensive player to his squad in this window. Will Liverpool make a January purchase, and can they retain the title without strengthening their defence?
I think there's a few ways you can read into what Klopp said last week. He pretty much said, you know, unless something is right, I won't do it. And that's the way he tends to be with transfers, that they're not in a position to say, right, we've got an issue, let's buy a player. If they were to buy a player, they have to fit into the structure in terms of the wage structure, but also the style of play and the long-term goals and the long-term future of the club. So a stopgap, as John Barnes is referring to, would suggest a loan player. Now, if you go to sign a player on loan, there's a fair chance that player you're signing is not playing first team football at the moment. There's a reason that they are available on loan. And that would suggest then you're not getting a top quality player. Now, they don't need, like, they can't replace Virgil van Dijk. Obviously, Joe Gomez is out. Joe Matip, when he's fit, I would have said before the start of last season, given the way he finished the previous season when they won the Champions League, that the first choice Liverpool central defence was Van Dijk and Matip. But unfortunately for Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, Matip gets injured all the time. It's actually pretty incredible what he does when he comes back into the team with very little training, and he just comes in and it's like he's never been away, And then the frustration kicks in where you see him going off injured, or he plays a game and you think, geez, Matip was brilliant. Maybe things will be okay. And then Jurgen Klopp does his press conference before the next game. Any injuries, Jurgen? And he said, yeah, Joel Matip's out. And it's just the same old story. And unfortunately for Liverpool, they took a gamble at the start of the season when they had Van Dijk, Gomez, Matip, and they were going to use Fabinho. Now, Fabinho has been excellent, but bringing Fabinho back into central defence means you're missing him in midfield. How clear was it when you had Jordan Henderson and Fabinho starting against Southampton that they just lacked that bite in midfield? They played Oxlade-Chamberlain and Thiago, who exceptional footballers in their own right, but they're not
fit.
They weren't fit, but also they don't do what Fabinho and Jordan Henderson did.
So no low move. Can they win the league without?
I don't think so. I think even if they brought in a good defender at the moment, I think City are looking very ominous. And you look at the fixtures. So City go to Anfield on the weekend of the 6th and the 7th of February. So Saturday is the 6th, Sunday is the 7th. It hasn't been decided when that game will be played, whether it's on the Saturday or Sunday. But at the moment, City are 4 points behind Liverpool with two games in hand. Before that, City play Brighton, Palace and Villa at home. They play West Brom away, Sheffield United at home and Burnley away. Liverpool before that play United, obviously this Sunday at Anfield. Then they play Burnley. Then they've trips to Spurs and West Ham. And then they have Brighton at home. Now, on current form, City could be well ahead of Liverpool by the time they come to Anfield. Now, if Liverpool were within 3 or 4 points of City going into that game at Anfield, obviously Jota is probably back and Liverpool have a very good record against City at Anfield. If they were 3 or 4 points behind them going into that game and they were to beat City, then they have a chance. But the worry for the likes of Liverpool and Manchester United, if City get ahead and get in front, it's going to be very hard to reel them in.
Okay, I want to move on. According to The Sun, Roy Keane is eager to make his return to management. What level of a club would be interested in the services of the former Ireland and Manchester United captain?
Well, it's hard to pick a Premier League club. Whenever Premier League jobs come up, you know, it's very hard to argue a case for Roy Keane at the moment. So are we looking at the Championship? Are we looking further afield? Is there maybe an international job that he wants? There was links to the Azerbaijan job a few months ago. And, you know, how interesting would that have been, given that they're in our group? That would have been very interesting. But, yeah, it's 10 years since he managed as a first-team manager. So you wonder, has he done himself more harm, the fact that he was an assistant manager? Obviously, he worked under Martin O'Neill. He worked under Paul Lambert. So this is what he's had to do now. This story is out there now that maybe clubs are thinking, okay, we didn't think Roy Keane was interested in returning to management because we see him on TV and he seems that he enjoys his role with Sky, and maybe a Championship club might decide, yeah, do you know what, we'll take a punt on Roy Keane. But it's a long time to be out of the game, and one thing that's very evident when you look at Roy Keane in his punditry role, as entertaining as he is, that he seems to struggle with some of the decisions that modern day footballers make, because he was obviously an exceptional footballer himself. He had standards, and a lot of the current players, the modern day footballers, don't meet those standards, and that must be a frustration for him.
Apoel Nicosia, parachute him in immediately into that role. I think that he's, like when Jerry, you were talking last week about Mick McCarthy's level being lower Championship, higher League One, that's pretty much the exact same level as Roy Keane, maybe not even lower Championship at this point. Do you think, Phil, that every time he slams another player and goes viral on Sky Sports, that he damages his candidacy as a potential Championship manager?
No, I still think obviously he's a huge draw. He's the former Manchester United captain. You know, he won everything. Former Republic of Ireland captain, obviously has been a manager, has been an assistant manager. So I still think there's clubs out there that would look at him and think, do you know what, maybe this is the guy we need. Some might think the profile of Roy Keane would be good for their club because it would draw attention. Like you mentioned, Apoel Nicosia, obviously they've replaced Mick McCarthy. But say a club on the continent hired Roy Keane, all of a sudden all eyes would be on that club, especially Irish eyes.
It's a Fenerbahce signing, isn't it? It's that kind of... that's what we're talking about here. Trabzonspor.
Yeah, but like, The problem is, if you go to clubs like that, as Mick McCarthy has found out in the last week, you're given very little time, and you know you're trying to adapt to a different culture.
Look,
you're trying to get your message across to players. Obviously, Mick McCarthy couldn't get his message across to players quick enough, and he's already out of a job.
Roy Keane is going to have two careers. One is as a brilliant footballer, and the other is as a TV star. And that's like a very, in America, he would be getting paid millions, and probably is getting paid millions now for this, and actually would feel good about that. Like, Tony Romo doesn't think, oh, geez, I'm really missing out on being the offensive coordinator for a mediocre NFL team. Like, his gig is a really good gig at the moment. Every week, he's getting to decide what people are talking about in the aftermath of matches.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's far more powerful than being the manager of any of those League One teams or any of those bottom-feeding championship teams.
But there's one difference, one crucial difference here. Winning. Like, do we know that Tony Romo doesn't miss the drug of actually winning, of actually being the offensive coordinator of a team who nails an opposition rather than being the guy who predicts it's about to happen on television? Sure, that's satisfying, and yes, it pays well. Yes, it pays well, but it doesn't give you that end product of like, I beat you, I absolutely stuffed your face in it, which is the exact thing that Roy Keane loves. He is a born winner. Like, surely this is a big chasm in his life.
Yeah.
The idea of going on television and sure getting paid well to talk about football, but not actually winning things, not actually defeating the opposition.
Get some lessons and you'll get that in golf. You know, have some humility with your golf game where you realise that you don't know it all.
I think the fact that the story is out there now, so he obviously misses the day-to-day football. And this was something that came up while he was the assistant manager of Ireland. And he was continuously linked with jobs. And he was never shy in saying that, you know, he'd like to get back into management and that day-to-day. And maybe, you know, he looks at some of his former teammates who are managing. I mean, it looks like Phil Neville might get that job in Inter Miami. Is there a role for him at Salford, maybe? You know, obviously, for the class of 92 owned the club. Maybe that's something that Salford are a club who have a lot of investment. Maybe that's a project for him where he could come in, obviously knows the guys that run the club and could try and bring them up the leagues. It wouldn't necessarily be like, it'd be a drop in leagues, but the end game could be, you know, a club that ends up in the Championship. And I'm sure Salford obviously have ambitions to one day get to the highest level, but yeah, he obviously misses the day-to-day, and I'm sure there's some days where he enjoys, he's talked about it before, where especially when he was working with ITV and he was doing Champions League gigs, where he used to go travel on the continent and he'd meet players that he would have played against in the Champions League, and this was the top level. But I just wonder, you know, who is going to hire Roy Keane at the moment?
Let's wait and see.
Outside the Premier League of the Championship.
Okay, last story for now is Declan Rice was hotly linked with a move to Chelsea last summer, but that obviously didn't happen. He's reported to be the club's only immediate transfer target because they got everybody else. According to the Sunday Mirror, he's eager to stay in London, which makes a move to Manchester less likely. Last week, Nathan Murphy told us Rice is a better player every time he sees him. Do you agree? How high is his ceiling? And can he make Chelsea title contenders instantly?
He's an exceptional player. Every time you look at him, you obviously look with that envy that, you know, we saw him in a green jersey for a few games. And, you know, even then as a teenager, he stood out and he's just got better and better. In terms of Chelsea, if he goes to Chelsea, obviously at the moment, I'm not too sure about Kurt Zouma. Obviously, Thiago Silva's not getting any younger. Strangely enough, N'Golo Kante has looked really off it for the last few games, where this is something that we've never seen in the Premier League. He came in at Leicester and obviously got his move to Chelsea, and he's always been sensational. The only thing that has stopped him in the last couple of seasons is injuries, and he's picking up more injuries. But even in games that he's played recently, he just hasn't been as effective. You think back to the City game where there he is chasing then Raheem Sterling. You're almost thinking, yeah, he's going to catch him, take the ball off him. And look, Sterling's no slouch. But yeah, if Rice comes in, obviously he makes Chelsea a better team. But Chelsea have other things to worry about. They have all these attacking players, but they don't seem to be able to knit them in. They obviously beat Morecambe yesterday. But for every time Chelsea lose a game, the pressure is on Frank Lampard. But yeah, this would make sense if you're Chelsea, a guy that was on the books at Chelsea before. instantly makes you a better team, but I'm not sure if he instantly makes them title contenders.
Should they do it now?
I'd be very surprised if they did it now. In terms of West Ham, West Ham are having a really good season, and you know, why would they want to sell Declan Rice?
Okay, give us a 1 to 10 then before you go. Will it happen in this window?
In this window, I'm thinking probably 2 out of 10.
All right, fair enough. Feel good stuff. That's today's Deal or No Deal.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.